Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, this is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can taste and smell fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Pastor Sean Krizendine, pastor of the Houghton Seventh-day Adventist Church and assistant pastor of the Bessemer and Greenland Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Sean.
Happy Sabbath. I just want to say praise the Lord. This is a high Sabbath because we're here in the house of the Lord, the Bessemer Christ Community Church of Seventh-day Adventists. And indeed, it's a wonderful day because we're going to remember this day for many months. And if we still have years, I don't know if we do. Jesus coming very soon. And that is that our brother Jim is getting rebaptized and his fiance Tracy is getting baptized today. And our message this Sabbath is entitled, I am married unto you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Please kneel with me if you're able. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come into this house of worship with joy and gladness because this is a high Sabbath. Lord, whenever one, or praise the Lord, two of your children give their hearts unreservedly to you in baptism, we know that in heaven, that is signified as a marriage to Christ, a choice of being united to him for eternity. Lord, thank you that there is no till death do us part with Jesus. It's once you've chosen him and followed him the rest of your life, it's for eternity we'll be with Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, that now we get a foretaste of heaven, and I thank you that you brought each one here to worship freely. Father in heaven, please hide me behind the cross of Christ. May Jesus be lifted up. Please forgive us of our sins, the blood of Christ, and give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need him so much in the early and the latter rain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am married unto you. That's something that Jim and Tracy can say tomorrow afternoon around 2:30 or so, because they will be married to each other. We're also having a wedding tomorrow. But I'm thankful that in a very real sense, this is the more significant wedding. And that's why I've entitled this message, I am married unto you. If you have chosen to be baptized by immersion, as the Bible outlines, do you realize that that means you have taken your vows in marriage to Christ for eternity? However, unlike a physical marriage with another human being who may, due to sickness or health or illness, may pass away, which we don't desire that. We want to live with that loved one as long as possible. But Jesus, even though he died, he didn't stay dead. He's risen, and he's promising us eternal victory. There's a lot of ways that people meet. Last year, I heard about a couple that met online, and they did all of their courting, all of their getting to know each other, completely on the internet. Their first time meeting in person was at their wedding. Now, you might say, I don't know that I could do that. That seems a little bit off the charts. I'm not really comfortable with that. But let's think about this as to how we marry Jesus, or rather how he marries us, because after all, he proposed marriage to us first. Christ, our Savior, is in heaven, and he's already sending us the marriage proposal through his word. Now, if you're not realizing this, more and more people are accessing their Bible, not through a paper version, but through, I like to say, plastic. You know, paper or plastic, they've often asked that question for many years when you're getting your food at a local grocery market. But many people are accessing the Bible online. They may not even actually own a Bible, but they can get it on their phone or their laptop. And so you might say, is that mean that Jesus is doing online dating with us? No, because the message has been given throughout all time, and it's for us to respond. And so I've thought about this. God wants to give us personal, intimate directions. And you might think, married to Jesus, that might just sound a little bit maybe out of your comfort zone of thinking of your relationship with God like that. But I want us to begin to think about God in new ways. That is that God is love, 1 John 4:8, and that he's the one that originally created marriage in the beginning, and that Jesus is the one that came to this world and showed us how we can be saved and married to him or united to him for eternity. Let's turn back to our scripture reading in Jeremiah 3 and verse 14. Jeremiah, the unmarried prophet, would speak these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the interesting thing about Jeremiah's ministry is that this is not a one-time theme for him. It was quite common for Jeremiah to actually highlight the intimate union that God desired for his people. Because if they weren't experiencing it, they were missing out on what God had created them for. You could say that a life without God is a life without life. God is the source of life. God is the source of light. God is the source of truth and guidance. And when we leave Jesus out of our lives, we find that as it was in the time of Jeremiah the prophet, so much just goes wrong. You might have the outward forms of a relationship with God, but if you're not vitally connected to Him by complete heart surrender and a willingness to go wherever He leads you, then no matter what your profession, you're spiritually dead. Jeremiah 3 verse 14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Now, going a little bit further in Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, we'll notice these words spoken of Christ and His name. So one of the things that takes place in most marriages is that there is a change of name of the bride to take on the name of her husband. It's significant that in Jeremiah 23 verse 6, this masculine rendering of this name, the Lord our righteousness, parallels with the feminine rendering a little bit later. And it should remind us, we're invited to be united to Jesus by a saving, surrendered, abiding relationship that's signified in taking those vows in baptism. Jeremiah 23 verse 6, "In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." This is a promise of Jesus. This is what he would be. He is our righteousness. We have no righteousness of ourselves. But when we surrender to Christ and acknowledge him in all of our ways, his righteousness is wrought in us. We accept his imputed sacrifice, what he's done, and his imparted sacrifice, what he does in and through us. And so on that note, it's so important that we be vitally, moment by moment, connected to Jesus. And so it's not just enough for Jesus to do the perfect plan that God had for him. God says, "Join me, be married to me." Jeremiah 33 and verse 16, we'll notice these words from Jeremiah the prophet as well. Jeremiah 33 and verse 16. And you'll notice the feminine rendering of this same name. Very significant. Jeremiah 33 verse 16. "In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So Jesus is not so much just interested in having lived a perfect life, which he did, having come to this sinful world, which he did, and having never sinned and then died as our sacrifice and rose the third day and has gone to heaven as our heavenly high priest to make a final atonement for all of our sins, to blot them even from existence in the records, so that when we're taken to heaven, no mention of any sins you've ever committed if you've continued with Jesus. That's incredible news. He says, it's not enough for Jesus to have done it. He says, I want my church. I want my bride with me. And the whole Bible really is a love story. And if we miss the love element, we miss the deep motivation. And it's true that there are times when we may be asked by God or invited by God to do something that crosses our own natural inclinations. But because of love, we're willing to trust His heart, follow His word, over what we thought was best, and go where His Spirit leads us. Notice Isaiah 30 and verse 21. This may mean that there will be experiences in your spiritual marriage, signified by baptism, that you never even thought possible. New ministry possibilities, new divine appointments, people that God will lead in your life, experiences that you're going to have that you didn't even see coming. God foresaw. He's planned it all out. It might be a little hard for us to realize this, but just as surely as God has a place for you today in His will, trillions of years from now, let's just say 20 billion trillion years from now, God knows which planet you'll be traveling to, and maybe you'll just be enjoying the heavenly Jerusalem, what you'll be doing, and who you'll be blessing. I don't think we've begun to even scratch the surface as to what it means to be married to Christ. I think we often get stuck and focused on this tiny little speck of a world, and we get discouraged over a life that is just a tiny seed. Every time I plant seeds in my garden, I'll admit I don't cry, because I know what's going to happen. They're going to grow. And so every time that we go through trials and difficulties, God is preparing us for something greater. And so Isaiah 30, verse 21, these promises come to us, an invitation, follow the Lord moment by moment. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now, Jesus did not come to this world just to save us from our sins, but to actually restore his image in us, to make us partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4, to allow us to be partakers of all the fruits of his Spirit so that not one is missing, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, so that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance, against such there is no law, will be constantly our experience, constantly growing and constantly expanding to bless others. Because we often dwell too near the lowlands of this earth, I once was talking with another pastor and I said, often too much of our experience in life is swamp management. He said, swamp management? I said, yes, we're just mopping up all the problems, talking about all our discouragements, and that's all we seem to do. And I said, there's a heaven to focus on. There's promises of encouragement. There's a family to join together in worship. God is preparing something better for us than we can even begin to try to comprehend. The more we focus on that, I really believe the momentary trials of this life lose their power over us ever choosing to sever our vows with Jesus. Because just as it is we're a husband and wife, those vows are solemn. And it says, I'm only to you forever. I'm not looking at someone else. I'm not getting distracted. I'm focused on you because I love you. And so it is, Jesus says, I'm focused on my bride. I'm focused on my church, and I will sanctify and cleanse her and prepare her to be occupying a position that the angels, sadly, left. We were created to repopulate heaven. That should mean that we should be happy to have godly families and do everything we can to get everyone in to this baptistry. Now, of course, there's preparation. I don't think anyone gets married without having spent some time getting to know who they're marrying. And so it is. I have to say that COVID-19 has been an incredible blessing because while I'd normally be traveling around everywhere, because you guys know how I do ministry, I was mostly here in the local area, and it started that Jim and Tracy were doing Bible studies, and it was like, well, how's every day? And I think it was like 5 or 6 days a week we had Bible studies. And so what may have normally taken months or sometimes years, we're all at different paces of growth, and every relationship is as unique as a snowflake. Can you say amen? No two love stories are the same, but I was just going, wow, I mean, like, these are two people that love Jesus. They want to follow him. They're all in, like, we'd cover new topics. Yes, I believe it. Amen. I'm going, okay, this no questions. Yep, I believe that. I'm going, praise the Lord. We should expect this kind of fruit in these last days. What it took some people years to learn, others will learn in months and days. I also believe that God is wanting us to pray more for more people to join God's remnant church. Do you believe that? Are you willing to pray for God to lead you in divine appointments to reach people for Christ? Because here's the thing, this marriage is not a selfish one. It's not about you getting married to Jesus and you're like, well, I don't care about anyone else. It's now I'm joined to him so I can find others to be joined to him. Isn't that great? It's a selfless marriage. And so it is that when Christ came to this world, what moved him to do everything he did was love. Love moved him. Love was his motivation. Love was his driving force. And if we don't have love, we lack the power of God. And that is what is truly missing for many in the last days. They have a form of godliness, as 2 Timothy 3 talks about, but denying its power. What is the power of God? It's love. Really, I mean, that is what wins hearts. You could condemn them for their sins. You could accuse them for what they did. You could bring up their past to the point where they don't even want to talk to you or take your calls, or you draw near. And Jesus has modeled this. He could have said, tough, that planet sinned. Exterminate them. That's not his plan. He said, I love that planet. I want to marry every one of them, and I'm going to set up my headquarters on that planet forever. Do you realize that? The New Jerusalem, when it comes down, Revelation talks about this, it's being settled here and it's not moving, not getting relocated to somewhere else. This planet will be heaven, once it's remodeled, of course. Obviously, it's got some major remodels on the horizon. But we have to keep this focus heavenward, because I'm not saying that everything in your married life to Jesus will be easy. There may be times it's a struggle, but struggle through it with prayer. Struggle through it with the promises, and struggle through it by faith in the Word of God and with your family that you're joined to. Can you say amen to that? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So love was what moved Jesus. We read in John 3:16, probably one of the best love texts in the Bible, but really, it's the kind of motivation that led Jesus to say, I want to marry them. I care about them. And this is one of the key elements of marriage, is you're not just looking at what the person is now, but you see what they can be. That's how God looks at you. I mean, you might say, I don't see very much value here. God says, you just don't know what I can do with you. And you look in the Bible and you see the people that experienced the love of God. Think of the Apostle John. He was the youngest of the 12, and in many ways, he got it. It took him some time. You know, he had a temper and thought there were certain things that had to go his way, but he finally just let that all go and let Jesus lead his life. And many of the people that I've met over the years have honestly remarked that John's gospel is what really helped them to get to know Jesus. It's like he wrote with a pen dipped in love. That's what God is, love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the commission that we've been given to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Matthew 28 records right before Jesus ascends to heaven, should remind us that there are terms to the relationship. When Jim and Tracy come up, I'm going to be reading the baptismal vows, which are a significant step of a commitment. Some might say, why do you have vows? Why don't you just say, I love Jesus? Well, what if someone walks up to you off the street and says, I love you, can I marry you? And you'd probably say, who are you? We would expect there'd be a little bit of a commitment there and maybe some time and understanding and terms of engagement. Can we say amen? Terms of the relationship. And you know what? A lot of Christianity is uncomfortable with any kind of parameters, any definition of morality and spirituality and what is the will of God. And as a result, we're reaping the whirlwind as a culture and as a globe. We're reaping the effects of saying, it's my way or the highway. I'll take God on my ways, my terms. But whenever we put God in our terms, we actually start to worship another God. And that's the subtle temptation, and that spiritual union with Jesus is who's driving it. Because after all, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the husband, and we're to submit to him. We're to submit to his word. We could say that in very real sense, Jesus has given us our baptismal vows in the Ten Commandments. If you turn with me to Exodus 20, starting in verse 1. But his commission, which includes his law and the gospel, they're interconnected. You really can't separate them. Christ in the law. These words are not separated from Jesus' character. Jesus said in John 14:15, same loving book written by John the Apostle, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is the motivation for when you choose to say no to a job offer because it conflicts with the seventh-day Sabbath. Love is the motivation when you choose to stop going to those websites because they violate the seventh commandment. Love is the reason why you throw away advertisements because they lead you to covet things you don't even need. And the reason why the Christian life is so gallingly difficult for so many people after they're baptized is they're not converted anew every day. I want to encourage you, every single one of you, if you've already been baptized, then be rebaptized by the Holy Spirit every day. But for a person who's getting rebaptized, like Jim is, I did that at one point in my life, and there was a reason. I had realized that while I'd called myself a Christian, I hadn't really totally lived as a Christian. And I felt that I needed to make things right with God, and I got rebaptized, and I do not regret that. And in the case of our sister Tracy, she has loved and believed in Jesus from an early time in her life, but she's never been immersed in that watery grave that represents that coming forth and that newness of life and that spiritual union with Christ. And fittingly, she's taken that step as she's learned that biblical truth. Can you say amen? It's a progressive growth. God loves everyone in the whole world, regardless of what they're doing right now, but he's calling them to himself. And so he calls us out of the bondage of sin, selfishness, and worldliness. And it's prevalent. You don't even need to turn on the TV to see it anymore. It's on your phone. But you don't have to do that on your phone. You can choose to do something good with it. Exodus 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These brief, comprehensive words define man's all. As Solomon, the wisest man outside of Jesus himself, said, this is man's duty. Live this. But keep this in mind. Because the motivation to obey is love, we need to spend time with Jesus beholding him. And I'm so thankful that he didn't say, get baptized because I said so. He said, I will get baptized and give you my repentance and give you my very life, and I'll set the example so you don't have to guess at anything. God doesn't want us to guess how to get to heaven. He says, you can know how to get to heaven. Follow my word to the very word. We go to Matthew 3. Jesus, who had lived the law up to this point, he's 30. At this point where he's getting baptized, Matthew 3, beginning in verse 13, he has not sinned against his Father. He's loved doing the Father's will. And you might say, why is Jesus getting baptized? Well, he's proposing marriage to us. And it got a little bit stronger when he went to the cross for us. And he said, I've set the example, and I'm going to have a people that are willing to lay down their life for me. Doesn't mean we'll all die. Some of us will be alive when Jesus comes. Can you say praise the Lord for that? You know, the reality is we're living so close to the end times that this is the most exciting time of all. But the love that motivates us to do this still is right here from Jesus. Matthew 3, beginning in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so it is that when our brother Jim and our sister Tracy take their stand in baptism, God says over them, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. The pleasure of the Father is revealed in our union with Christ. Can you say amen to that? There is no greater joy in all heaven than when one sinner repents and acknowledges that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way of salvation, and the only way of life. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, we are seeing Jesus' very life codified. But when you look at the life of Jesus described in the Gospels, you're seeing the life of Jesus exemplified. It's not in any way a contradiction. There's no contradiction. Everything that Jesus did had a script for it. You know, some people, when they're auditioning for something, they're like, you have to learn your script. Do you realize that we're auditioning to occupy a position that the universe is waiting to see happen? Here's your script. It's called the Bible. Here's your marching orders. Here's your love letter. Here's your constant guide. Stay close to the Bible. Keep it in your home. Keep one in your car. Wherever you go, don't go anywhere without the Bible. And praise the Lord, you could probably get it on your phone. Maybe you even have multiple apps. Find ways to immerse your life in the Word of God. When you love someone, it's common for someone to reread and reread those love letters or those love texts, because maybe we don't write letters anymore. Maybe we text or we tweet. I don't care how you send the love. Get the love out there. Can you say amen? The reality is that culture is changing, time is changing, but love has not changed. And the love that moved Jesus to do what he did, to leave heaven, to die as our sacrifice, because in John 19:30, he spoke these words, "It is finished." You might say, "I'm too sinful. I'm too broken. I have such a bad past." God says, "Last I checked, the thief on the cross made things right in about a matter of seconds. You can make it right with God today too." Well, you might say, "The thief didn't get baptized. I don't need to get baptized." Well, when Jesus was baptized, he provided a perfect salvation for everyone, regardless of where they would meet him. Some will accept Jesus in the closing breath of their life. God wants them in heaven. Christ's baptism stands for them. But if you can get baptized, by all means do. And do so biblically. I want to praise the Lord for what God is doing here today, because it's the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus who was immersed, who came forth, who went to the cross, and now he's in heaven. And he says, "I'm preparing a place for you." And as surely as he has a place prepared for us in heaven, he has a place for us in his service. And I've wanted to encourage Jim and Tracy and all of you, if you're a part of God's baptized membership of his remnant church, you have a calling. You have a mission. It's not a guess. It's, what does the Bible say? What are we to do? We're to make disciples. That means we're to share what we've learned of Christ. You may say, "I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist." But you are called to be a witness. Witnessing is not a spiritual gift. Just not. And it's not usually hard for someone who just got married to tell everyone that they're getting married. Can you say amen? We should be excited about Jesus. We should be so elated to share what he's done in our lives. It's not a burden, it's a blessing. So let's spread the news far and wide, global. Let's let God's grace go global. While this pandemic has gone global, God says, "I foresaw this. My love's going to pour out on so many people that are going to respond to see their need of me." And I praise the Lord that Jim and Tracy have made that decision. On that note, I want to invite you today, if it's your heart's desire to say, "I want to be right with God." Maybe you've already surrendered your whole heart to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But you want to recommit your heart to him and say, "Lord, live in my heart by grace through faith." If you want to surrender fully to Jesus, would you stand with me now? If you want to be totally surrendered to Christ, totally surrendered to him, letting him live in you. It doesn't mean you understand everything. It doesn't mean that we know the end from the beginning, but God does. Amen. God sees each one standing to their feet in faith in this commitment. And I have a very earnest heart appeal from the Holy Spirit. If you need to be baptized or rebaptized, the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, calling you to that decision. Would you please raise your hand to indicate that that is your decision at this time? Anyone here that wants to get baptized or rebaptized? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God sees that desire and he will lead you on a journey of preparation. And I would like us now at this time, if we can kneel and come before the Lord and ask him to seal these decisions, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus has pledged marriage vows to us. He took the step, he left heaven, so that we can yield our whole heart to him. Lord, you saw each one who stood, you saw each one that raised their hand. We want to yield the whole heart to you, for you to cleanse and purify from every stain of sin, to heal the disorders of our sin-sick souls, and to make us what you've called us to be. I also pray, Father in heaven, that you would continue to be with Jim and Tracy as they take this step today in baptism. I thank you, Lord, that this is a day in which all heaven rejoices. And Lord, those who've made that decision and are still in that time of preparation, just as relationships take time, I pray that you'd encourage them, you'd strengthen them, and you would not let them go until they get into that watery grave and begin anew with Jesus. We pray that your Spirit will seal each heart decision today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Sean Prizendine, pastor of the Houghton Seventh-day Adventist Church and assistant pastor of the Bessemer and Greenland Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you've enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath? I'm sure he'd be glad to meet you.